Would you pray with me? Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So perhaps you have recognized a fairly common thought that exists both amongst Christians and even non-Christians alike that really leads us to be hesitant in prayer at times. I've discovered over the years that one of the reasons for a lack of a very regular prayer life is that people can tend to think things like, I don't want to bother God with my prayers. Or other people have so much more going on than I do. Or I'm not even sure if God will hear my prayers because there are millions of other people praying right at the same time. How does God hear all of those prayers at the same time? My prayers are really insignificant. You know, my worries aren't really that much compared to someone else. These thoughts, these phrases are not new. They're not new thoughts. They're not new questions. They have been asked literally for centuries. Well, this morning, I would like to take two very familiar passages from Scripture to help us to explain and to know in our hearts that the Lord does, in fact, hear us when we pray. That He isn't too busy. That He can handle everything. And that, friends, I really want you to hear me when I say this. That He listens. He cares. He hears you. And He wants to have that intimate relationship between you and Him. That relationship that brings us together, talking to Him in prayer. God wants that for you. So this morning we're going to look a little bit at both our reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14 and a little bit in Romans 8 as well. So, if you remember from last week, we read a passage from Matthew 13 about Jesus teaching of the parables of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like, he says. A lot has taken place, to say the least, in between what we heard last week and what we just heard a few moments this morning when Jesus feeds the 5,000. A lot has taken place. So what we didn't hear is from the very end of Matthew 13. It's something that you have probably heard in the past. Jesus has finished the teachings of the parables of the kingdom, and He has gone back into His own hometown of Nazareth, the place where He grew up, the place where He was raised, the place where He knew people and people knew Him, the place where His family still lived. And He has gone back to Nazareth. And the people there have completely rejected Him. They're very dismissive about what He has done. They have heard about all of these things that He has done. They have heard about the miracles, the deeds, the teachings, all of these amazing things that Jesus has been doing. But they're like, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that it's Jesus that has been doing these things? The one who grew up just right around the corner there. You know, we know his mom and dad. We know Mary and Joseph. We watched this kid grow up. The carpenter, right? Jesus? Are you sure? They're very dismissive. They reject Him where they know Him the best. So that's taken place in between now and what we read today. What we read today Matthew 14, beginning at verse 13, picks up with something that we need to have some context on as well. He says, it says, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself." We don't know why, only hearing what we heard this morning, why Jesus has removed himself and needs to go to a desolate place because of something that he heard. What was the news that Jesus heard that made him want to go away? Well, the first part of chapter 14, again, before our reading today, was the death of John the Baptist. This is the news that Jesus has just heard. He has heard the news of the death of his friend, of his family member, his cousin, the great precursor and prophet. He has heard of the news of the death of John the Baptist. Now, John was executed. He was executed while he was in prison, really simply for the amusement of the king and the king's family. John the Baptist has just been executed, and Jesus has heard this news. So Jesus is going away to mourn the death of his friend, to mourn the death of his family member. He's going to mourn the death of John. Though, because of the mighty works and the amazing things that Jesus had been teaching, the things that he had been doing and saying and everything else, great crowds were very, very interested in what he had to say. Now, those great crowds clearly didn't come from Nazareth because they didn't care what Jesus had to say. They didn't believe it. But everyone else saw and heard and wanted to hear more, wanted to see more. So these great crowds, many, many people are coming to Jesus. So Jesus leaves in the boat to go away to a place where he can be by himself, a desolate place, into the desert. And when Jesus arrives at this place where he is ready to mourn the loss of his friend, he's greeted by this great crowd. They have already made their way over there before him. And then we look at verse 14. I want you to look at verse 14 right now. And we see verse 14 as the reason why I know with certainty that Jesus hears us in our prayers. The reason that I know with certainty that he desires to have this great relationship with each and every one of us. The reason I know for certain that nothing is too big or too small for Jesus. Verse 14 says, "When Jesus went ashore, he saw the great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick." He had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Let's think about that for a moment. Many of us, when we have the need to be alone, sometimes we have the need to be alone, right? To recharge, to mourn, to just be alone. We all have that need. When we get interrupted in that need, what happens? We get frustrated. We get annoyed. We might even get angry at that. Not Jesus. Jesus didn't respond in that way. Instead, he saw this great number of people, didn't he? He saw them. He saw their faults, their stresses, their anxieties. He saw their sin. He saw their worries. He saw their sicknesses. He saw their ambitions. Jesus looked at them and he saw their humanity. He saw them at their best and he saw them at their worst. Jesus saw them exactly how they were made to be seen, as his very own image and likeness. But his very own image and likeness that needed to be redeemed. In his own sadness, in his own mourning at the loss of his friend, he didn't get annoyed. He didn't get frustrated. He didn't get angry at them. He had compassion on them. Jesus went from his own mourning immediately into miracle. He healed the sick within that great crowd. Did you hear that? He healed the sick. Let me say this too. This isn't only for those who had physical ailments. Our sicknesses lie much deeper than our physical ailments. Jesus isn't limited to physical only healing. He heals those who suffer in mind, in body, in spirit, and in soul. He has compassion on you who suffer from anxiety, from worry, and from disease. Jesus heals the broken arm and the broken spirit. He healed the sick among them. He healed the individuals. And then he turned his attention to the larger crowd, the more than 5,000 people who had gathered to hear him, to experience, to try to get to know this Jesus. And what we see is perhaps Jesus' greatest known miracle. He divinely fed thousands of people who were gathered in this place where food and drink were almost non-existent. Again, it is a desolate place. He fed them all enough, not only that they had their bellies filled, but he fed them until they were satisfied. Until they were satisfied. All of them. And let us not underestimate that word, satisfied. Again, Jesus isn't limited to physical only healing. He fed their bellies indeed. But that's not all he fed, is it? Jesus filled them, satisfied them in mind, body, spirit, and soul. He completely satisfied their bellies and their faith. Friends, let me reiterate. There is nothing too big or too small for Jesus. He healed the individual, and then he satisfied the crowd. There is nothing too big or too small. Nothing. Whether it be our physical limitations, or our illnesses, or our anxieties, or our addictions, or our fears, and certainly our sins. Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue and redeem the world from all of those. Your prayers are never too much for him. Your prayers are never too little for him. Your prayers are never unheard by him. Your prayers are always listened and always heard. And there is absolutely nothing that can take that away from you. Absolutely nothing at all. Paul reminds us of that great promise. The promise of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension in that short but familiar and very, very powerful passage that we heard from Romans 8:35-39, a passage that is familiar mostly because it is read at many funerals. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing at all. There is nothing too big, and there is nothing too small that we can't take it to the Lord. He can handle it. He can handle every single one of us praying something differently at the same time. He hears us. He knows us. He knows you. And every single hair on your head. And brothers and sisters, this is hope. This is hope. This is how deep the Lord of all creation loves you. This is how much he wants to rescue and redeem you. Friends, this is gospel compassion and miracle that only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Oh, shame, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, but this I know with all my heart, yes, this I know. Have paid my rent.